Scripture I'm going to read today comes from Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Starting at verse 10, I'm going to read down through the end of the chapter, verse 13. I'm going to say one thing before I read this scripture. One of the things I particularly like about being Baptist is Baptists from the very beginning, 400 years ago, were known as people of the book. And that the scripture is the most important thing that we have. And this passage right here is one of those that I find to be quite strong about recognizing what God's word is. So listen to these words starting in verse 10. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, an everlasting song or sign that will endure forever. I think the greatest resource that we have from God is the Bible. I don't think there's a need to run to the Christian bookstore to find the latest, greatest book on how to live a Christian life. I really think if people would spend more time in the Scriptures, they would find how to live a Christian life in a much better way than before. And I always hope that you don't take my word for it. I hope that you will take the message you hear today and that you will go home and look through the scriptures and find out if what I've said is right. That you would know how to do that. And that you would know how to dig deep in the scriptures to be able to say, yes, all of this fits together. You see, God's word proceeds from heaven like rain and snow. Got three really good showers yesterday afternoon. I don't know if you were awake for all three of them. Some of you might be taking an afternoon nap and missed one of them, but there were three. And they came down pretty hard. And they came down pretty solid. Some wonderful rain that we did need. And it cooled things off wonderfully. It comes from heaven. We don't know where the storehouses of the water are or of the clouds. But God brings it as we need it. God's word does the same thing. God's word comes from heaven. Now, as I say that, I want to qualify that some. Because one of the things that I hear people say all the time is, well, Pastor, my Bible says. Okay? Let's talk about what the Bible is. The Bible is the Word of God that came through people and is shared with us. And it has been preserved through the centuries down to this age. Some of these scriptures that we read are thousands of years old, and God has protected them and brought them. Now, some of you have study Bibles that have footnotes that help you to understand what some of the scripture means, whether it's giving some background history or background to an analogy or metaphor that's there so that we can understand it better. Those footnotes, those outlines, did not come from heaven. Okay? They are one person or a group of people's interpretation of what the scriptures mean. And they can be quite helpful and quite interesting to help you understand what the scripture is talking about. But when I talk about God's word, I'm talking about just the text of the Bible. Not the footnotes, not the cross-references, not the outlines. Okay? I hope you realize that when Paul wrote the letter of Philippians, that he did not start with, well, let's see, chapter 1. Verse 1 is, verse 2 is, verse 3. There were no numbers in the book when Paul wrote it. None. That didn't happen until about 1,300 years later. So that we could reference it and make sure that we're all talking about the same thing and on the same page at the same time. So when I talk about God's word, I talk about that was given to the people who wrote it down. And I do not believe that God used them as robots either. That each one wrote with their own personality, their own grammar, their own style. Which means that we have to think a little bit harder about what this means. Okay? So just some qualifications for you. If you come to me and say, well, Pastor, my Bible says right down here in the footnote, that means that a commentator has felt, or a group of people have felt, that's a good interpretation and a good understanding. But I don't see those. To me, they are not as precious as just the text of the Bible. And I say this because I can find study Bibles to prove just about anything you want to prove. They're all out there. If somebody has a personal thing that they want to say, this comes from the Word of God, and this is the way I interpret it, they may be way out in left field, but they can still publish a Bible with footnotes with those ideas in there. So I take those with a grain of salt as I read them. I take them with a little bit of, let's wait a second and see. But see, God's Word, the text of Scripture, came from Scripture down through people to write that with their own personalities, with their own styles, with their own ideas of grammar. Okay? English teachers would not like the Apostle Paul. He can write a whole page and never finish a sentence. Okay? Never. And English teachers would just go, no, Paul, the period goes here, and you capitalize that, and the period goes, whole pages. Sometimes translators have given it to us broken up to help us to understand it by making more sentences than Paul did. So I hope you understand that too. But the basic premise that I understand is that God gave us God's word, and it came from heaven, and it came down for us. And just as rain and snow bring water for plants to flourish, so does God's word do the same for people. God's word does the same thing for people. Rain and snow comes, and without that rain and snow, plants do not flourish. Things do not grow. It is needed. It is possible. God's word is the same thing for us. If you are not feeding on God's word and you're not drinking from God's word, you will not flourish as a Christian. You will not. You can't set that off to the side and say, I can be a Christian without this. Because that is God's main resource that God has given us to understand the spiritual life. If nothing else, we have to have the Gospels so that we know what Jesus did for us. And as we read the Gospels, we can see how Jesus interacted in the midst of this world, and it gives us an understanding of how we should interact. The books of wisdom give us great insight. Not a lot of folks, I think, read the books of wisdom because normally they're a sentence, and then a sentence about something else, and then a sentence about something else. It's not a flowing story always, as some of the other passages are. But those words of wisdom are absolutely incredible and bring incredible depth and understanding to our lives. It causes us to flourish if we will spend time with it. One of the reasons that part of my sermon often is talking about the story in full detail when I do a passage is because people in our culture don't know the stories anymore. They just don't know them. Especially the younger generations. They don't know the stories. I can't make a reference to a story without telling the story. Because a lot of people don't know, well, where's that in the Bible? What story is he talking about? And that's why I always try to stay with just one passage and not jump around during sermon time from passage to passage to passage to passage, because that's not helpful for folks because they don't know these different places in the Scriptures. And it's because people are not taking the time to eat, to drink from the Scriptures. I would encourage you, if you never have, to just do a very simple thing. Read 3 chapters from the Bible every day. Just 3. By the end of the year, you will have read almost the whole Bible. You'll be very close to finishing the whole Bible. Just 3 chapters. And as a pastor, what I could hope more than anything else is that you would just read God's Word. I'm not talking about studying. I'm not talking about memorizing or outlining or completely putting it all together. Just read it. Because it's what nourishes us. It's what causes us to flourish. It's what causes us to be strengthened in our Christian walk. And if you're not doing that, you won't have that. There's so many people, I think, well, I can't even say this, because a lot of people don't bring their Bible to church anymore. You ever notice that? Now, I know some of you use it on your phone, which I think is great. I have no problems with that. But I see very few people sometimes bring their Bibles to church. And I wonder why that is. If this is the most precious resource that we have, if this is what causes us to flourish and grow in our relationship with God, why don't we have it with us? That's why I like having mine on my phone. Because my phone goes everywhere with me. And for many of you, your phone goes with you when you go somewhere, right? Why not have your Bible on your phone? So that you can read it when you're somewhere, anywhere. And when you've got a moment. There's a wonderful thing that this passage says. That God promises, my word will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. My word will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. What's the purpose of God's word? To bring people to Jesus Christ. To restore a broken relationship, to build a community of believers that can help one another walk, to bring people together to make disciples and build disciples that can pass the message on down through the ages. God says that will happen and it will not return to me void. It will not. Personally, you know what that means? That means when I sit down to read my scriptures, that God says it will work on you. It will work on you. And maybe that's why some people don't like reading the scriptures. Because they're afraid of finding out what it says. They're afraid of finding out what it says about them. And they're afraid of what that means and what might need to change in their lives. Maybe that's why some don't like to read the scriptures. And we put it off on, well, I don't understand that. But when you read a passage that we prayed, Lord, please forgive me the same way I forgive other people. Do you hear what that says? You're asking God to forgive you, but only in the same way you do it for others. And we pray that every week during service. One of these weeks, I expect to hear nobody say that sentence. Because that's not how we want to forgive, is it? We don't want God to forgive us the same way we forgive other people. Because sometimes we want to hold a grudge, don't we? Sometimes we've got it out for the other person because they did wrong to us. And then I pray, Lord, forgive me for the way I forgave that person I don't like. Maybe we should change the words to say that. How about that? Sometimes we read the scriptures and we don't like what it says. And it says that we got to change. It says we got to do something different. But God promises what? It will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. So it made me think about this. As there's some ground that will never flourish, so are there some people that will not grow spiritually. As there's some ground that will never flourish, so there are some people that will not grow spiritually. They may eat of the word, they may drink from the word, but they may not allow that word to take an effect in their lives. I know many people who have heard how to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior who have not done it. But wait a minute. God promises that God's word will not return void, that it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. How can God make that promise if some people never accept Jesus Christ? Did you think about that? How can God make the promise that my word will accomplish its purpose and it will not return to me void when sometimes it has no effect in people's lives? I resolve that by saying it doesn't say it'll have that effect in every person's life. But that word did accomplish its purpose, didn't it? It brought people to Christ. It changed people's hearts. The word of Jesus Christ changed my life dynamically. Dynamically. It accomplished its purpose in my life. Now, why doesn't it accomplish that purpose in somebody else's life? And the only answer I have for you is because that other person won't let it. That other person closes their mind off to it, closes their heart off to it, and decides, I will not grow spiritually. And the unfortunate thing is I know some Christians who have made that decision. I accepted Christ, but I'm not changing my heart any further. I'm not going any other steps and doing anything else that God's word, I got saved and that's all I need to do. Do you know people like that? They don't think being part of a church is important. They don't think reading the scriptures is important. They don't have a prayer time that they spend with God. They don't give. And they don't share about Jesus Christ with other people. They have made the decision that all they wanted was insurance from hell, but they're not willing to take the next step. Did God's word still accomplish what God sent it to do? Yes, in some people's hearts. Now, why God gave us free will is a question that theologians have debated for centuries. Why did God just not plant that tree in the Garden of Eden? Instead of telling Adam and Eve, don't eat from that tree, why did God just not plant it? Wouldn't that have been easier? If the tree wasn't there, they couldn't eat from it, right? And by the way, the tree's not an apple, okay? That's how we tell the story, but it's not an apple. Why did God not plant that tree then? God gave them the decision to decide what they wanted to do. And God gives you the decision on how you're going to use your time and how you're going to spend your time allowing God's word to transform you. Will God's word accomplish its purpose in this world? Yes. For every person in this world? No. I know people to their dying day decided, I will not commit my life to Jesus Christ. There are those who have done that. So here's what I'm going to talk about. God's promise is true and happens for those who allow transformation by applying Scripture to their lives. God's promise is true and happens for those who allow transformation. Or to use that other word that church people say they don't like, change. Change. Now, you can't tell me you don't like change. I will not agree with you. If you're a person who likes to watch TV, and every time you turn the TV on, the same show was on the TV, every time you turned it on, would you not want a different show? Isn't that change? If the radio station you listen to played the one same song every day of the week, every hour, every minute, would you not want change? Or not listen to the radio station, right? You see, you can't say you don't like change. What you're saying is, I'm comfortable the way I live. And I read some things in God's Word, and I'm not sure I want to apply them to my life. That's the kind of change you're not sure about. Because I'm not sure that it'll have a good effect in the end. I'm not sure that it'll carry through. Why would God bring us a word that would not be helpful to us? Why? Has anybody got an answer to that question? Why would God share something with us that asks us to change our lives and we would go, nope, that's a bad idea? Might work for somebody else, but it's not going to work for me. Why would God share that with us then? I don't think God's up in heaven saying, let's see how much I can trick them. Let's see who can find which verses are the right verses to follow and the wrong ones to leave alone. I've had a lot of people here recently tell me this. In one way or another, they've said this to me. Pastor, you gave me a lot to think about today. There was a lot in that sermon that made me think. There was a lot there that I've really got to spend some time thinking about. Or maybe people have said it this way. You know, Pastor, I got home and found out my feet were flat. You really stomped on them today. Here's what I'm going to ask you. Are you allowing God's word to have an effect in your life? You know, just thinking about something's not enough. I can think about winning a marathon. I can think about being the first person coming across the line in the marathon. I can think that. I can dream that. I can visualize that. I can understand that I can do that. But you know what I found out? I physically can't do it. And there is no way that I physically will be able to do it. I can think about letting God's word change me. I can think about what God's word is asking me to do. But if I never make any applications and try, it never will happen. You see, I guess I'm not smart enough yet because I still want to run a marathon. And I'm still trying to do what I can to get there. It's slow. Most days I'm lucky to get 3 or 4 miles. And for those of you that don't know how long a marathon is, that's 26 miles. I'm far from getting there. But I'm trying to make some changes in my life that will allow me to get closer to that distance. Get closer to be able to do that. That means I've got to get out there and run. That means I've got to get out there and try. That means I've got to get out there and take some action. Not just sit in my lazy boy and think about it. Because I can think about it all I want, right? Especially in the lazy boy, amen, brother?
Amen.
Amen. For those of you that don't know, Jerry's lazy boy is called the Word. So if he ever tells you, I'm sorry, I'm busy this afternoon, I'm in the Word, it doesn't mean he's getting his scriptures out. Not that Jerry doesn't study his scriptures, because I know he does. Because we talk about it a lot. Folks, you can say all you want about, well, you gave me a lot to think about. I'm asking you today, are you going to let God's word take an effect in your life? By making the change that God's word's asking you to make. Because just thinking about the change is not going to bring about the result that you want. Just thinking about the change is not going to bring the result that you want. You've got to take some action. God's word does not return back to God void. It does accomplish its purpose for some people. But for some people, they never let it accomplish its purpose. But they think about it. You know, I really got to do such and such. I really should change how I do this. But it never fully accomplishes the purpose that God sent it for. The mystery of God giving us free will. The incredible mystery of God giving us free will. How about you? Are you allowing God's word to accomplish the transformation that it's looking to accomplish in your life? By taking action. By changing things. By taking a risk. See, I go back to one of my basic premises about the Bible. God didn't write the Bible to try to fool us about things. And God didn't write the Bible to bring us bad things. The Bible's there to help us, to guide us, to instruct us, to see where we need to change. How about you? Are you letting God's word accomplish its purpose in your life? Let's pray. Lord, there are times that we're so full of ideas, so full of what needs to be done. Sometimes we let other things crowd out those things. Lord, help us to sit still long enough that we might hear what your Holy Spirit is saying to us about your word. And that we might allow that word to transform us, to change us, to mold us into who you need us to be, to bring this world to where you want it to come to. Lord, the truth is your word does accomplish its purpose. Help us to let it accomplish its purpose in our lives and in our community in a way that will bring you glory and honor for all that happens. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.